Greetings, victims. For those of you who delight in dread, who fantasize about fear, who glorify gore, welcome. You have found the place where the horror returns. Listeners, beware. This podcast contains major plot spoilers and the foulest of language. Join us in celebrating the old and the new, the best and the worst in horror.
Friends, neighbors, associates, family members. You're all family members here because you reached the Horror Returns. I'm Lance. This is Brian. This is Philip. What's going on in your world, guys? How's it going tonight?
How's it going with you?
Sounds good, man. You might have scared him with that, all right.
It's the wife's birthday weekend, so we started a drink in, and we've been to the Irish pub tonight. I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow and Sunday. Well, I know Sunday we're going to Epcot, and then we're going to have a nice French dinner. That's not a French accent at all. Okay.
He's leaning a little towards Borat right there.
Yeah. The French Italians.
Oh, I couldn't be happier, though. My wife, she's the number one prostitute in Florida.
Where was he all from? Right. Kazakhstan? I've been there.
So, what's up, guys? How's your weekend?
Nothing much. Getting some stuff done around the house. At the same time, not been feeling good. That's why we're doing the show. You got listeners getting the show a little bit later this week because I had some issues, medical issues. But you're getting the episode.
Always, every week. We've never missed a week, right?
Yeah. Might be a little late, but you still get one.
Yeah, well, it's a fucking podcast. I mean, if we're going to fucking make our living off of our Patreon donations, then we're going to be living under Skid Row. Right, Philip?
Hell no, dude. They make a whole lot more money just panhandling.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, they'll be driving their Mercedes past us and waving. Mm-hmm. Philip, anything going on with baseball, man? Y'all had some games tonight or what?
We have practice tonight, but I'm one of the coaches on my kids' team, and we've won the last two, man. They're looking pretty good. We had it was bad news bears at first, man. I thought we were gonna get destroyed.
even the bad news bears got to go to Japan, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into cool of the week. Who's going first?
I got a list. But I'll make it quick.
Okay.
All right, cool.
First is a Shudder movie called You'll Never Find Me.
I've heard about this one, dude. I almost watched it the other night. How is it?
It's good, but it's definitely a slow burn. The basic premise is you get introduced to this old guy who lives in the trailer. It's like a stormy night, and he looks very sketchy. And then he gets a knock at his door, and it's a young girl. Stranded in the rain, needs to use the phone. And
this sounds like a porno I've watched, but okay.
It's not.
Let me get.
And then basically,
plumbing. Sorry.
And then basically through the movie, you're trying to figure out who's the bad one because they both kind of, you know, talking about themselves, and you just kind of get sketchy feeling from both of them, right. So you don't know who's. Who's going to do something? It's slow though, but I like the ending and where it paid off to. So,
so it stuck to landing then.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. I'm going to check it out then.
I was trying to figure out what the title was, but then by the end of the movie, you'll understand the title of the movie. You'll Never Find Me.
You'll Never Find Me. Okay. All right. We will check it out. It's on Shudder.
Yep. Next one, I found this by other means. It's called Lovely, Dark, and Deep, and it stars...
That definitely sounds like a porn.
It stars the one Georgina. Chick from Barbarian.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, the one that was in the Barcelona, Bird Box Barcelona.
Yeah. Oh, she's in a lot of stuff now.
Georgina Campbell.
There you go. She's a park ranger, and she ends up, I think somebody's missing, and she goes deep into the forest, and then she basically runs into like some kind of phenomenon where she's in, it kind of seems like she's in a different dimension or something, a different world or different plane of existence.
Okay.
And it gets real trippy, and then it kind of makes her like look at like some of her past mistakes or stuff like that. So another slow burn, but I think it's a recommendation also. Because I'm really liking, what would you say her name was, Georgina Campbell?
Yeah, and I've got this movie available too, Brian. So I might check it out. I almost watched that one the other night too.
Okay, yeah. I liked it. I think you'll dig it. And third movie checked out was Frogman. Frogman. I believe this is in your part of your neck of the woods, Lance. Florida.
Why does that not surprise me?
Like a Navy SEAL or a alligator wrestling?
I guarantee you they did Navy SEAL.
Cryptozoology type stuff.
Oh,
okay. Not in That's Florida.
Basically, the movie starts, a family's on vacation. This little kid catches a glimpse of Frogman on a video camera. And then you flash forward to him as an adult. He tried to become a filmmaker.
Broken already. Didn't take long.
Is he a tea kettle? Giving yourself CPR? Here you
go. Are you picturing the Frogman in your head? Is that?
This is in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyways. You flash forward to the kid. He's a failed filmmaker, and all he's known for is this YouTube video, which nobody believes. They think it's a fake video, so he goes on a search for it. This was almost my cool of the week.
That's impressive.
But there was too much added stuff. You ever watch like a found footage movie, and there's just a lot of unneeded
filler,
like conversation with people, and
okay,
but
yeah, like professional photographers going around with 12 cameras,
yeah, this,
saying this is found footage.
This would have been an amazing entry in a VHS movie.
Ah,
that makes sense.
If this was shortened to like one of those stories in a VHS movie, this probably would have been the best story of that movie.
It's probably one of those crackheads mated with some reptiles.
And it's good. Swing like the effects are good. And
right?
the mythology they introduce you to is fun and stuff like that. They did that. It's just the unneeded like conversations with
overkill.
People. Yeah, like why are you videotaping this conversation with you and your ex-girlfriend? You know, it's not really needed, and
right,
there was a lot of that. So if this was a VHS entry, it'd be probably one of the best VHS entries in the series. So
it sounds like a good idea for a short film, maybe not so much a long one,
right?
I know you're into the found footage stuff. I think you would kind of dig it.
All right, I'll check that one out. Where was that one?
You can find it.
Okay.
And I think it's under an hour and 20.
Frogman.
You know what I can't find? Fucking Godzilla Minus One.
Really?
Oh, it's not. It's not out yet.
Like a good copy.
Right.
It's all foreign language stuff. I just keep coming across different versions of.
Yeah, I read somewhere like they take a lot longer to put their stuff out on digital.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that makes sense.
But yeah, my cool of the week.
I'm blessed, Lance, that I saw that in the theater. Sorry, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, my cool of the week, Lance, I hope I don't break you again, was Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
Oh, it's out.
I'm good. I've come to peace with it, dude. I'm not going to even laugh. But tell us all about it, dude. I'm sure it's much better than the first one.
You can see where the money went to, because the first one was made, I think, for $50,000. This one, I think they had $5 million.
Big difference, huh?
And Winnie the Pooh, and you get Tigger and Owl in this one. They actually look like hybrid animal humans instead of just people with masks on.
All right, quick question. Not to get us off the rails here, but CGI, yes, or practical?
Practical, but there is, like with Tigger, his tail is CGI, and it's not good.
Oh, no.
But
uh-huh.
Because it's kind of wagging when he's, like, moving around. But, like, all his makeup is practical. Right? I don't know why they could do the tail.
Who knows, man? Maybe they just, like, last-minute decision, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I thought the kills were fun.
Right?
You get, Lance, you get titties in this one.
Did they have another head crush?
I'm not going to get into the kills, but I thought the kills were super fun. It was gory. Right.
That's where the entire budget of the first movie went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That already been greenlit for a third one's already been greenlit.
Of course. Yeah.
And they showed a little teaser trailer of Bambi the Reckoning, which is in part of the universe, which looks fucking hilarious.
Is it part of the universe or isn't?
It's a part of the Pooniverse. Oh,
okay. The Pooniverse, Philip.
Pooniverse. So yeah, pretty good week of stuff I've seen.
Cool.
All right. Well, I'll jump in. I watched a couple Vince Vaughn movies.
All right.
Went back for a rewatch of Cell Block Brawl and Cell Block 99.
Oh, that's a good one. That's where he was actually serious in that one.
Yeah, he was serious in both of these movies.
Okay.
So yeah, I watched that one because my wife hadn't seen it. She was like, "Let's watch this," and I'm like, "Okay, great. It's not Grey's Anatomy or The Walking Dead for the 15th time." And it's a cool movie. I mean,
it is. Yeah.
I don't know about Vince Vaughn and his fight scenes, but they still.
How bros like it because it's kind of a graphic movie.
Yeah, so she fell asleep. So she before the end got wild. That's pretty normal.
Before somebody lost their face.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I love that the practicals are so fucking wild at the end. It's a fantastic movie if you haven't seen it. I think that one was on, I don't know, Netflix or something. And then I watched Arkansas. Have you guys seen that?
Kind of like a heist movie. It's got like a big cast.
Yeah, it's got a big cast. It's got Vince Vaughn is in it. They're like drug runners.
Has it got like a Hemsworth in it?
Yeah, it's got the little Thor.
Yeah.
Little Thor.
Liam, is that his name?
I think we should go with Little Thor.
And then the one of the chubby funny guys that's in a bunch of movies.
Matt Damon?
No, like, you know, the little fat guy that's comic relief in all the, like, teen movies. He's been in a bunch of stuff. Patton I don't Oswald? Have no idea what his name is, but I've seen him in a bunch
Not
of stuff.
Not Patton Oswalt.
No. Like a young guy.
Gotta look this up now.
I can't remember his name, but he looks so different in this. Okay. And he's got, like, this weird little hipster mustache and this, like, man bun thing and wearing these little shirts. Okay. And it's like him and Liam Hemsworth doing their like buddy cop routine, except they're like drug runners. And
that's cool.
They really carry most of the movie, but Vince.
Clark Duke.
What else has he been in?
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine. Oh, God. A bunch of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
John Malkovich is in this.
Oh, yeah. I guess he is. Yeah, it's got a pretty big cast. It's very Pulp Fiction-y. Like they're really going for that angle in this movie. Right. I don't know if they quite pull it off. It's probably a little longer than it needed to be. Yeah. I think this motherfucker's like 2.5-3 hours or something.
Oh, what?
It was,
I don't remember
pretty,
being that long.
It's pretty long.
Okay. Well.
But
maybe it just felt that way.
No, because I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool and like stylistic and.
But it just kept going on.
Yeah, and yeah, maybe a little unneeded stuff in there. The real magic was Liam Hemsworth and the other guy.
Clark Duke guy. He directed
Clark Griswold.
Oh, he did. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, they were kind of bouncing off each other and playing each other the whole movie, and it really, really worked. I mean, they were definitely shooting for Pulp Fiction, and I, you know, maybe missed the bullseye, but still hit the target, you know?
Gotcha.
So, fun movie.
What was this on? Like,
damn, this is pretty cool. I think that one's on Netflix, too.
Okay, I gotta check this out.
Yeah, it's a cool movie.
Is that it?
That's all I got. But yeah, so I didn't expect that one to be that good.
So Arkansas is the cool of the week.
Arkansas is definitely the cool of the week.
And yeah, you'll never hear that on this podcast again.
Hey, my grandma used to live in Hot Springs. That's a cool town.
Oh, cool. All right. I've always wanted to go.
It's fun.
All right. So we're my cool of the week. Let me start out with this. Religious horror, guys, is a slippery slope.
Yeah.
So if you guys will recall, last year my number one least favorite movie of the year was The Devil Conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Where they were stealing the DNA of Christ.
Oh, yeah. And I really kind of wanted to watch that. But after you, like, shit all over it, I was like, all right, maybe not.
Yeah. One on 10. And then I recently saw another religious movie that's similar that we might talk about next week that didn't quite get there. But I don't want to give too much away yet. And it's hard to do religious horror, right? I mean, it's, you know, number one, you... What's that?
I said, I don't know. Is it? I mean, you got a whole lot of great horror stories that are just kind of built in.
It seems that way, but to me, they always get silly for some reason. Like, over the top, silly. Like, it's either way erring on the side of being pro-religious or way erring on the side of being atheist or something. And you just never find that perfect mixture. But, gentlemen, I found that perfect mixture this week with a little movie called Immaculate.
Lovely
Sydney Sweeney, who I did not know was such a talented actress until I saw the final scene of this movie, which you can't believe it until you see it. You guys heard anything about this yet? Immaculate, the final scene?
Yeah, I talked about it.
I haven't heard about the final scene, but it sounds pretty fucking awesome. I mean,
and then we texted about it, Brian.
Good.
All right, so Brian, again, what are your takeaways, man? What score would you give Immaculate, Brian?
Ooh. Based off of her performance and the twist and how they handled it and that ending, because they went there for that ending. Right now, I'd probably have to say 8.
And I'm at 9 right now. Yeah. So wow. This could be my favorite movie of the year.
That one's still in theaters, right?
Yeah.
She's definitely proven that. I mean, I know she's like the it girl right now. She's popping up in everything, but she's with that movie. I think she definitely proved that she's got the acting chops.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. And from what I understand, she like produced and even co-wrote the movie.
Yeah.
Very cool. Which is very shocking, but you know what? It's a great movie, Philip. If you want to get freaked out on religious movies and how, if you needed any more proof of how evil the Catholic Church is, it's like, I thought it was just going to be a straight ahead drama. And then,
right,
well,
Easter,
first
man.
I thought,
come on.
Look, at first I thought, you know, that Satan was going to have a prominent role in the movie, and that doesn't happen. And then I thought, okay, well, then it's going to go the other direction. And it's just going to be a drama, and the reason she's pregnant is because she was raped by a priest. That's not the truth either. What happens in the movie, Brian, wouldn't you say it's somewhere in the middle?
Yeah.
Definitely. It's amazing, Philip. It's fucking amazing, dude. You got to check it out.
I'm excited, dude.
It's really good.
I like religious movies in general, but
I know you do.
Religious horror is awesome.
And I'm hearing great things about the first Omen.
Really?
Yeah.
I was worried about that one.
We'll talk next week. Okay. So, moving on from Cool of the Week, Brian, any news?
A couple things. Scott Derrickson is going to direct a new adaptation of the Night of the Hunter.
Ah, that's a good one, man. I remember watching that. And my dad told me, quit watching that. Because didn't he like, he was like a sniper, right? He would like shoot people from far away.
I think so.
Yeah, that was, it was on HBO, Philip, when I was a kid growing up. And my dad walked into the room and he saw like a sniper popping people off from far away. And he's like, what are you watching? Turn that off. It's a good movie.
From 1955. Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be a remake of the movie or closer to the, I believe it was a book.
Okay. I could see that.
So.
All right.
This one we got some feedback on. I'll probably speak on it a little bit. Don Mancini is in early stages of working on a new Chucky movie.
All right. Well, got the TV show going. Why not?
Which we had some ridiculous feedback from somebody. I won't even say their name because it was just. Sometimes I think I appreciate it, all the feedback we get, but some of it is just kind of wild talking that.
That's the internet, bro.
I don't get that, man.
Because basically it was Don Mancini needs to stop doing this. He hasn't been successful yet.
What?
With Chucky. And
I wish I was half as successful as he is.
I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about the TV series.
Me neither.
It's ridiculous to do a new movie because he'll never get people back like, what's her name? Tiffany.
For the movie?
Okay. You're talking about the actress that plays Tiffany, the professional poker player that we're desperately trying to think of her name. I know she plays poker professionally.
Yeah, Jennifer Tilly.
Tilly.
He'll never
Sister
be able to get
Meg Tilly.
Yeah, he'll never be able to get actresses and actors like that back. And then I really wanted to comment. She's on the TV show.
Yeah, BTW. Yeah.
Let's say they're like, they've got a pretty good like group of people over there that seem to actually enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, it was just weird that you would say she would never do a Chucky movie, but she's currently been doing like 3 seasons of a Chucky TV series.
Well,
and they were all having. Yeah, they were all having fun at Frightmare, weren't they, Philip?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. They were all hanging out.
I don't know.
That's probably somebody who hasn't watched the TV show at all, and is just remembering Chucky from back in the day. And oh, another one. Here we go.
I got in a conversation with somebody. I posted a throwback pic of Robert Englund on the set of Wes Craven's New Nightmare, and he tried to tell me I posted a false pic because Robert Englund was never in Wes Craven's New Nightmare. And I was like, boy, he played Freddy Krueger and he played himself in the movie.
Was he thinking of Jackie Earle Haley or what?
Probably.
No, he said Robert Englund refused to do the movie because he didn't like the story Wes Craven came up with. And I was like, are you writing fan fiction?
Sure.
I really think right now that there's different realities that are all clashing together.
It's the multiple universe theory. It's string theory.
I think you're right, Phil, because it you know how you can read someone's like comments and you could tell how confident they are in what they just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like just some stuff that never happened.
So kind of like Berenstain Bears versus Bernstein Bears type deal or what?
Yeah, like that. The Eiffel or the Statue of Liberty being on Ellis Island and stuff. I think all that's happening, because they found the Higgs boson particle in 2012, which is when the world was supposed to end, right?
Oh, wow. All right. I think we need to get Neil deGrasse Tyson on next week to be our guest.
I'm telling you.
I think he's
alternate
free.
Universe theories.
Or Brian Greene. All right.
All right.
There's been so many multiverse movies lately. They're trying to tell us.
That's right. Yeah. They're trying to clue us in.
Yeah.
And finally, I knew this one was coming. The Wolfman from Lee Whannell gets pushed to January 17th.
Of course.
This was supposed to be one of our big October movies, but.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll survive.
To January?
Yeah, it's only a few months.
I don't have a lot of hope in this movie.
I think Hollywood is missing out on changing the perception of dump month.
That's true.
Because I thought it was going to change when the first Deadpool, I think, dropped in like February.
Yeah. Right? Well, and why not put it out against something that's, you know, that's not going to be a big hit? You'll make more money, right?
Because I think it's fair to say we all enjoyed Lee Whannell's version of The Invisible Man.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we did. But hey, guys, I went to the movies today and I saw the new Deadpool and Wolverine trailer. Have y'all seen it yet?
The new one?
Yeah, the 2.5 minute long one.
No, I think
it's fucking awesome.
Do they show Wolverine?
Sort of. I'll leave it at that. They show his shadow, his outline.
Oh, okay. I've seen that one.
Okay, you've seen that one.
I don't want to see him until the movie.
Yeah. Well, and I've heard that, like, the production companies and stuff were trying to get Ryan Reynolds to do all kinds of things, and he's like, no, we're not doing this shit. This is the way the movie's going to go.
Well, good. Yeah, good, because it looks like it's gonna be gorgeous.
Yeah,
fucking phenomenal.
He's
Marvel Jesus, right?
Yeah. Stop. What was that goddamn movie, Miss Marvel, Black Widow, whatever the fuck it was?
I don't know.
The last one that was terrible.
Madam Web. Superstar.
Madam Web. Yeah. It's like the producers want to get their grubby little hands. Madam Web it all up. Time. And he's like, no. So I'm proud of him, man. I'm excited for this movie.
Fuck, we brought up Madam Web again.
All right.
Well, it's going to be our staple go-to terrible movie. Except
I've never even seen it.
Used to be Black Christmas, I think.
I know.
It'll never be from that.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I'd rather watch Black Christmas over Madam Web.
Stop it.
At least they tried to do something in Black Christmas.
They did not try. Trash.
Hey, I give it to them. That opening sequence was a complete different movie in Black Christmas than the rest of it.
I wish I could remember it.
The chick getting stalked that was trying to get home.
Sure.
That's the movie. After that 10-minute opening, I thought that was the movie we were getting.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Black Christmas too much, so. And that's the news.
Alrighty.
Trailer Park. Brian gonna bring us the big, the small, and the very, very weird.
You sound like
it
that guy
is
from
the Trailer Park.
Oh, brother, where art thou? I ain't gonna sing the can right here.
We're trying to get through this in quick tonight, right? So.
All right. Our one and only trailer is a new horror mystery titled Cuckoo. A 17-year-old girl is forced to move with her family to a resort where things are not what they seem. And this stars Hunter Schafer, Dan Stevens, Jessica Henwick, and others. And this is written and directed by Tillman Singer. Phil, we'll start with you.
I have no idea what the fuck this movie is about, man. Where is Dan Stevens from?
The UK.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
He does a different weird accent in every fucking
movie. Yeah. Right.
But I kind of love it.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. It almost looks like a zombie movie, but not quite. I don't get it, but it looks pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely down to watch this one.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by not only the town they're in, because it seems to be like the town's involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I'm confused about Dan Stevens' character. Is he evil, or is he trying to help, or what's the deal?
That's the point, right?
Yeah.
They want to keep you in mystery.
Yeah, if they're throwing in the mystery tag in there, then they're doing a good job. And then I'm intrigued by, because I like that shot of her riding home, and then she looks down and sees the shadow of the hand reaching out, and then she looks behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Because caught a quick glimpse of what the lady looked like, and she looks kind of creepy, so.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's like It Follows meets a zombie movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm in. Lance?
Yeah, I'm in, too. It looks pretty cool, man. It's got that IFC feel to it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is neon.
I do have to ask one question. When did Dan Stevens become the new fucking horror icon? Because he's in fucking everything all of a sudden. The Abigail trailer, the King Kong movie. It's like, this dude's in everything. I mean, he's great. Don't get me wrong. But like you said, Philip, he's very versatile, right? He can be an Australian, and then he can be from the UK, and then
stupid ass movie he did American. On Netflix.
He's done a lot.
Will Ferrell. The singing competition movie.
Oh no! You're talking about Eurotrash.
Eurovision. Yeah. Wasn't he like the bad singer or whatever, the evil guy?
Eurovision is rated higher on Will Ferrell movies than Step Brothers, which is a travesty.
Step Brothers is a classic. Boats and Hoes, man.
The song that kept singing in Eurovision, Ya Ya Ding Dong.
It's still a fun movie. Don't get me wrong. But
it is, but it's really stupid.
Yeah, true.
All right, Cuckoo is coming to theaters. I think the date got changed. August 9th.
Okay. I am sure we will be there, Brian.
Yeah.
Anything in the theater?
What was that?
I said, I wonder if it'll pull anything in the theater. I mean.
Well, I mean.
That's summertime.
Immaculate. That was a neon release. Mm-hmm. So
they're
kind of hot right now. And I think the movie they had before that was Infinity Pool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dude, Neon's got some good shit. They're right there with like IFC Midnight and
A24. Sure.
Speaking of A24, next episode, we'll be reviewing the Maxine trailer because that will be dropping next week, finally.
Okay,
cool.
We're all in.
All right.
Maybe we can see where.
Don't even need to see it. We know we're all in.
Maybe we can see where Mia Goth was kicking the extra for real.
Yes.
Did you guys hear about that?
No. Tell us.
I guess that's her excuse. She was staying in character, but I guess she was physically abusing one of the extras and kicking them.
No. Come on.
Did the usual "do you know who I am" type thing, and her excuse was she was in her Maxine character.
That's never good.
Yeah. How bad can it hurt? She's not very big.
Yeah, just kick her back.
All right. On to listener feedback. This week, we shine the podcast spotlight on the Stephen Queens podcast. Not to be
confused with Dan Stevens.
tiring of the endless search for a decent horror movie and fed up with the gratuitous violence against women in many horror films, three women embark on the journey to find female-approved horror movies. Make sure they got their stamp on it. Matt Wood says there's definitely some giallo that I need to see and expand my knowledge of the genre. As Brian Stitcher said, my knowledge is a bit thin on the ground with the minimal amount of films that I've seen.
Yeah.
Regarding Ghostbusters Afterlife, Mike Batchelor said, saw it tonight, really freaking good. Huh.
Well, it was a lot better than Frozen Empire.
Oh, okay, yeah, Afterlife. Okay, that was the other one. Yeah, that was good.
The one where Finn Wolfhard had something to do in that movie?
I thought he was talking about Frozen Empire. Like, what? Regarding Jason Goes to Hell, Kevin Church says it started out so good too. Bummer. Regarding Ghostbusters 2, Robin Barker says Ernie Hudson's name left off the poster altogether, and he's a Ghostbuster. Man, he really got the short end of the stick in this movie. He's not even involved in the fighting Scolari brothers in the courthouse. Oh, yeah. He's not, is he?
No, he's just missing for chunks of the movie.
I forgot about that. Regarding Return of the Living Dead, Andre Harvath says, great movie. Still have it on the DVD.
Keep your physical media.
There it is. When the internet goes out, we're all going to
inevitably.
Yeah.
What are you going to play it with when the electrical grid goes down?
Charge up your generator.
Yeah,
there you go.
There you go.
Late Night with the Devil made $2.8 million over the weekend to give it IFC Film's biggest opening weekend ever. That's one I really want to see, too.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it yet?
No.
I think on Sunday that weekend, it made like $666,000. It was like some weird number.
That's bizarre.
That's creepy. Ray Rose says, so glad to hear this. We went opening evening and had a great time supporting fresh new horror and new fucking ideas and movies that are not remakes or reboots or sequels or, you know,
very original.
It's
very
not a money original. Grab. I like it. That's it for listener feedback. Our show intro and all of our logos come from Steve Carlton from The Geeks. Be on the lookout for some more great stuff from Steve. And our original skull artwork comes from Natsulani. Check her out on Instagram. And if you'd like to help us out, please consider becoming a Patreon patron. We'll let you pick the movies for a future show at any amount. And for $5 or more a month, also pick a commentary for a future bonus show.
All right. Real quick, the Geeks have a new show on their YouTube channel called Time Travel Video.
I heard about this.
Interesting.
Hosted by Steve, and each episode they time travel to a year and pick a movie from that year and month, I think.
Okay, well.
And their first two episodes are, I think, 2009's RoboCop remake, and then the newest episode is Tank Girl. So.
Tank Girl, classic.
Some good stuff.
Ice-T was a kangaroo.
On to featured attractions. This week, we check out some kaiju action with the brand new Godzilla X Kong. Is that it? How do you say this fucking movie's name?
I've just been saying Godzilla and Kong.
Godzilla. Okay, that'll work. Kong. I didn't know if it was Godzilla times Kong or Godzilla X Kong or Godzilla ex-boyfriend of Kong or... I don't know.
And as well as the 1962 classic Godzilla versus
classic.
King Kong versus Godzilla. So we'll start out with the 1962 King Kong versus Godzilla.
新聞には全紙広告だ。
A UN reporter broadcasts a report on the appearances of a prehistoric monster that emerges from hibernation while a pharmaceutical company seeks publicity with a monster of their own.
Big Pharma.
I tell you. Director is Ishiro Honda, also known for 1954's Godzilla and Ran. I don't know what Ran is. Writer is Shinichi Sekizawa, also known for Invasion of Astro Monster and Samurai Pirate. That sounds awesome.
That sounds great.
In the fight scene when King Kong throws Godzilla over his shoulder, suit actor Shoichi Heroes didn't throw an empty suit, but actually threw it with Haru Nakajima still inside.
Easy for you to say.
I know. Still inside, as this was Heroes' way of proving that he was the stronger of the two. They were really having a cage match.
I guess.
The unedited original Japanese version of the film remains the highest attended Godzilla film in Japan. It is one of the most attended films of all time at the Japanese box office, as well as the most successful live-action science fantasy film. Okay. And with admission numbers surpassing Hollywood blockbusters such as Star Wars and Avatar. Whoa.
What? Wow.
To this day, it remains as the 13th most attended film of all time in Japan. The heavily re-edited U.S. version that inserted new actors and deleted several scenes from the original was just as much of a success at the U.S. box office as well. This film features the Davy Crockett, a portable missile-launched nuclear weapon developed by the United States. At the time, the weapon was still classified.
Wow. How'd they get away with that?
Giving us little clues through movies.
Interesting. Okay. Strange.
Lance, what did you think about King Kong versus Godzilla?
As we used to say when I was in grade school, King Kong played ping pong with his ding dong. You guys ever heard that one? No.
I missed that one.
All right. I fucking love this movie. This was fun. This was fucking fun. This was what I remember as a kid watching these movies where you've got the big rubber suits. But I guess I got a super good copy of it that I happened to be able to see. I don't know if it was like some kind of a Criterion copy or something, but the photography was just amazing. And the models were just so gorgeous, the way that they put so much time and effort into building these little toy models. And they don't, you know, the two things you guys don't, you know, you guys both know I don't like to hear is CGI and fire in the same sentence. And there was none of that here. So it was just, it was gorgeous. It was wonderfully filmed. It was incredibly silly. They had some great characters, like that one, the one Japanese character with the glasses. It was like, oh, go, this city would be perfect, you know. And then it's like halfway through the movie, they're like, okay, well, we had one game plan to get rid of Godzilla, and now we've decided we're going to – let's just fucking blow King Kong away. I know we've gotten him halfway here across the ocean. Let's go ahead and put all the nuclear bombs that are all the dynamite, you know, let's get King Kong into the ocean and get rid of him because he's probably more of a threat. It's like they couldn't make up their mind what they wanted to do. So that was fun. And then, I mean, you got some great fight sequences at the end, and it's just, there's a lot going for this movie. I really enjoyed it a lot. This is my King Kong. This is my Godzilla. I'm an old man. Get off my lawn. Fuck you. I don't like the CGI bullshit. I enjoyed it. Had fun.
All right. Brian, what'd you think?
Yeah, this is very nostalgic for me because when I was a kid, there was a TV channel every weekend. It just played nothing but these movies. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very nostalgic. I respect what they did, you know, with the suits and the models and stuff like that, and the effects that they, you know, for the time it was, what they did was amazing. But I have to be honest, rewatching this one, it was too much talking.
A lot of talky-talky, huh?
Yeah.
I just want to see monsters fight each other. It got to the point, I'm not going to lie, I was looking forward more to watching the new movie than finishing this one, because it just it would cut to some kaiju action,
right?
And then we'd go back to people talking and trying to be scientific and do news reports, and I'm just like, it started taking me out. It
was only like an hour and 20 minutes, so eeks.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just simple and I just like giant monsters just beating the shit out of each other and destroying shit. But I don't know. It just kind of took me out. But it still is a classic movie. Like I said, very nostalgic. It just took me back to that time of being a little kid. You know, you remember the Joe Bob Briggs Monster Vision and stuff like
that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Back to those days. I forgot. It was like a TV station here. Mm-hmm. That it was on the weekends, like after like midnight, it would just play like Godzilla and King Kong movies.
That's amazing, dude.
That's awesome.
How many stoners were tuned into that, you think?
Dude, I watched all Alaska, the Godzilla movies when I was a kid.
But even though I did get bored at times, it was a great nostalgic trip for me. So yeah, for the most part, it was a good rewatch.
Nice.
Yeah. Brian, I agree with everything you just said right now. That's long been the criticism of the King Kong Godzilla movies, is like, all right, we're not here to see what the people are doing. I don't care if Matthew Broderick is in it. Let's
Or if it's at Madison Square Garden or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I want to see some monsters. That's Godzilla why we're here.
Eggs.
And so, yeah, I mean, there was some slow. I actually still have a real nostalgia for like the 30s King Kong movie, you know.
Sure. Why not? Right.
Good shit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've loved all the Godzilla movies forever. And so this one is definitely a classic. And it's fun to watch. The fight scenes are weird. But
how did y'all like all the natives on the island that were in like blackface?
Oh yeah, it was like Japanese blackface.
Yes.
Different time, different place.
Right.
Well, and I mean, obviously they weren't doing it to be offensive, but
yeah. No, it was just a filming technique, sure.
Yeah, but you know, these days.
Yeah.
Godzilla vs. Kong canceled.
We hear
a
you.
A movie that's been out this long would all of a sudden just someone would discover and be like, can you believe what they did?
Right. Yeah, damn it. That would ruin everything for everybody, wouldn't it?
Can you believe what they did in the 60s?
It's mud. They got to cover themselves up for all the bugs. Right? You've never seen Naked and Afraid?
Is that what it is? All right. Philip explained it all for us, there it is. Brian.
But yeah, I enjoyed myself. Well, I guess that was. Anybody got any final thoughts on this one before we go to stores?
Nah, it's simple, man. Simple, yeah. Simon.
It is. Good old classic. Lance, what's your score?
7.5. Fun. 7.5. Yeah.
Fine.
I loved the sequence with the girl in the train that he was holding. Just the same thing you get from the newer movies, right? That's like a motif that goes on forever, right? Like Godzilla Godzilla Minus One, they had a very similar scene where somebody was riding on the elevated train and, you know, all of a sudden Godzilla breaks the train in half and people are falling out of it. So a lot of great destruction, a lot of beautiful toy models here and stuff like that. It's just really well filmed. And yeah, people were super into making the movie.
If you think about like how big those like little model cities were, I mean, some of those mm-hmm. buildings are as tall as a person.
Mm-hmm. Right. This would have been a fun movie to be on the set. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, and for the time. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm close right there with Lance. I'm going to give it a 7.
Yeah, I think... I think 7 sounds fair. I mean, it's definitely got a nostalgia factor because I don't think it's as fun to watch now as it was. But
well, smoke a bowl and then, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Still a classic. All right. let's move on to the new one. Godzilla and Kong, or X-Kong, or Fox-Kong, sure. Whatever. The New Empire.
What else were we wrong about?
Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in?
This world has more secrets than we could possibly imagine.
Miracles, I guess. Still happen now and then.
What is that?
That's not Kong. Who could have done this?
Godzilla, ex-wife of Kong.
Two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connection to Skull Island's mysteries. Director is Adam.
Is that what happened?
I guess
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Director is Adam Wingard, also known for The Guest and You're Next.
Two great movies, by the way.
Yeah. When he did the last one too, right? Godzilla vs. Kong?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. Writers are Terry Rossio, Simon Barrett, and Jeremy Slater. Adam Wingard said the Scar King almost represents an upscaled version of the worst parts of humanity. Just as Kong represents some of the best parts of humanity. Before release, Takashi Yamazaki, the writer and director of the acclaimed Godzilla Minus One, did some PR for the film by watching it early and promoted it on social media, stating, "I was able to watch the big movie earlier. It was super fun and gorgeous. Be sure to watch it on the big screen."
Yeah, that's pretty classy that he did that, you know?
Yes, well,
considering his movie is a lot better. spoiler alert, his movie's a lot better.
Well, yeah. All right, Lance, what do you think about this one?
This was trash, man. As soon as Dan Stevens is coming in a helicopter, and this isn't a spoiler alert because this isn't the first 10 minutes, but he's coming down on his rope, and he's pulling he's pulling King Kong's tooth out.
He's not King Kong.
Huh?
They never refer to him as King Kong.
Okay.
They haven't ever.
As the ape, the grape ape, right?
Well, they call him Kong, right?
Yeah, but they never call him King Kong.
Okay.
Well, pardon me, Brian. Grape ape. Okay.
I'm just trying to.
Is that better?
Trying to keep everything. That was a fucking great cartoon. Have some respect.
All right. I just, as soon as that happened, I was almost kind of out of it. I wish I hadn't been, because there was a lot of great fight scenes in this movie. You gotta admit.
So him getting his tooth extracted took you out of the entire movie?
Yeah, it kind of did.
That was the
man.
Least fucking wild
kinda
thing they did.
Brian, took you out of the movie.
Let me put it to you this way, Brian. When that happened, I was like, so this is the movie we're getting.
Yes.
Okay. And then that line, "Everybody hates a dentist." Okay. But Dan Stevens is a great actor. Just this role, I thought he was kind of over the top. Was he Australian in this one, y'all think? He kind of sounded that way, right?
Yeah, I thought he was Australian. Ace Ventura in this.
Yeah, Ace Ventura. He's like a New Zealand Ace Ventura, is what he said.
Okay, so the good is that there were some really good fight scenes, right? Great action. It like never let up. There wasn't a whole lot of talky-talky, as you would say, Brian, and it wasn't like focused on the human drama. So this was like what it was supposed to be. Right. But I just couldn't get over the bad CGI. Sorry, guys. Like, there was a character that shows up later that was like a younger version of Kong, and I don't know, man. It just felt like watching a cartoon to me. And maybe it's just because I'm old.
It was very cartoony. But like the second they ended up in Middle Earth and they're like showing Kong and they pan way out. And I was like, oh, this is the entire movie CGI. We're watching Toy Story.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I mean, I tried to enjoy it. I wanted to enjoy it. I just, The CGI just kept taking me out. I hate to say that.
Tooth too.
Oh, that tooth was horrible, dude. It was like the rope was like 4 bits of graphics, and the tooth was like 16 bits of graphics, and they were like trying to be on the same screen together.
I think you're exaggerating now.
And then fucking Super Mario showed up, and then Pac-Man ate him. All right, move along, guys. I want to hear what y'all think, because I know y'all both loved it, because there was a lot of great fight sequences. So let's hear how fucking awesome this movie was.
Well, I'm curious, Brian. What do you think?
Well, I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it either.
I thought you'd love it, man. I'm shocked.
It pretty much is what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Very CGI heavy. The CGI, well, it was a little wonky at times. I don't know about stuff being distorted as it was moving. I don't know what you were on when you were watching it.
Okay, hold on. I will say this. This is one thing I really noticed. Was this movie filmed like with 3D cameras? Y'all know.
Oh, I know it. There was definitely a 3D version of it that they were showing.
I really wish I'd seen it in 3D, because for whatever reason, the film that I watched, and it was in a decent, you know, it was in the theater. It wasn't like I was watching a pirated copy at home. The sides were all like blurry, the sides of the screen. And I'm like, was this originally filmed in 3D? And that's why it's not. Well, I don't know, maybe I just got a bad copy.
You'd know it if you watched it in 3D. Like, there's like red outlines of.
Okay.
There was a lot of shots where I can see if this was released in film or released in 3D. There was a lot of shots where it looked like it was filmed for, you know, that 3D action feel. A lot of spin around.
Yeah, like where he's doing this. And,
yeah.
Which I didn't think about. I thought that would have been cool. I should have done that.
Right.
Compared to our first movie we talked about, the human element didn't really bother me. Dan Stevens kind of bothered me because it felt like
over the top, right?
It felt like you had Brian Tyree Henry. They brought him back. The podcast paper guy. Boy.
Yeah.
He's always been the comedic element of the movie. And it kind of felt like him and Dan Stevens were fighting for the comedic element of the movie at times.
I can see that. Now that you mention it, dude, I didn't think about it at the time, but they were kind of stepping over each other, weren't they?
I like the way that Dan Stevens played this role. I mean, he's in a movie that's not real human heavy, and he's over the top and just sort of, I guess, carved himself out a little spot. Everything he does is ridiculous in the movie.
Yeah.
Sure.
I see
Brian's point where, like, they were kind of like stepping on each other, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm just the comedian. No, I'm the comedian of the movie. Yeah, no, like, I'm the comedian.
Why is there two comedic characters?
I get it.
In the same group. I mean, you could have, maybe if you're going to have two comedic characters, maybe split them up.
Yeah.
Or have them play off of each other.
Yeah, which I don't think they really did that well the times they were. Mm-hmm. I thought a lot of the action was cool. There was a lot of good ideas in this movie. I like the setting of, was it Hollow Earth?
Mothra looked fucking amazing.
And when we get to Mothra, I have a serious question.
Okay, but we're going to save for spoilers? Or?
Yeah, because it has to do with the previous movie. But
did I give anything away by saying Mothra?
Well, I didn't even know Mothra was in the movie until.
Sorry, folks.
Well, I guess I didn't either. But I mean, there's some other Titans in the movie too.
Yeah, which
true.
I thought they were pretty cool. You know, just throwing some random like kaijus in here to get fucked up by Kong and Godzilla. I thought Godzilla was very minimal through most of the movie.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
which I'm completely fine because I'm Team Kong, because I think Kong is fucking badass, and he's obviously been living a rough life since the last movie because he is fucking great as hell.
Well, and he's it's probably a whole lot easier to show emotion and communications in a gorilla than it is
versus a lizard.
Yeah.
unless you're Alex Jones, right?
Yeah.
I thought the introduction of the villain Scar.
Okay.
Yeah.
was a little lackluster because they kind of built him up a little bit, and I don't know.
I thought he
There's some stuff, but I have to say,
yeah, I was going to say,
there's some human elements that are just super cheesy, man. Like, oh, really? Come on.
I mean, when they introduced him,
like the Naveed people or whatever from fucking Avatar, and Jesus Christ, really? Sorry.
Naveed people.
I don't know. Yeah, y'all go ahead. I'm sorry.
They were blue.
What's going on? Yeah, it should have. It could have been. I'll be quiet. I don't want to spoil anything.
Did you hate that movie? Did you hate this movie that much?
I didn't hate it. Well, you'll
find out, called it trash.
Yeah, I guess I kind of hated it.
Well, I can't remember. What did you think of the last one, that Godzilla versus Kong?
Me?
He's on an episode of The Action Returns where he loved it.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, there you go.
Okay.
So.
There you go.
This is just more of that, really.
Was it? Yeah. Okay.
And I think, and
from Avatar.
Like I said, the human element's very minimal. Rebecca Hall. She's just here to explain things throughout the movie. That's her only purpose.
That's what all of the humans are in this movie for, is to, like, progress plot points.
Rebecca Hall, she's like, the minute you say something out loud, why is that happening? Cut to Rebecca Hall, and she's explaining exactly why.
Like right on time.
Like a Christopher Nolan movie, Brian.
There's a scene. There's a scene where, like, these military guys are explaining what Godzilla is doing as he's doing it, which makes no sense. But
but overall, I'm not going to say it's trash movie. It's exactly what I thought it was going to be. I thought the action scenes were cool. Like I said, I'm a Kong guy. I thought he was badass throughout the movie. And
okay.
Again, I think it just kind of falls in line with the series of movies we've been watching the past few weeks. I think it's a good family popcorn, turn your mind off movie.
That is exactly what this is. For sure.
All right. I got a question, Brian.
Yeah.
Not to interrupt. So you've watched Monarch on Apple TV. How much does that tie in? Like, if you watch that, would that add anything to this story?
No.
Well, they give little narrations and explanations for it just to bring you back into the world.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't even remember what happened in the last one. And then they started talking about Monarch, and I'm like...
Oh. And then Rebecca Hall comes and explains it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I heard enough. I'm ready for my score now. I'm ready for
Phil's,
my
Phil's
got to
give his review.
Oh, sorry, Phil.
Okay. So I came into this movie expecting to hate it.
Yeah.
And I didn't at all. I thought I had a really fucking good time.
Fucking A, baby. Yes. 10 out of 10.
You have to, like, you kind of do have to turn your brain off in something like this because it is a cartoon, you know, that's kind of what you're watching. I thought the scene, well, I guess we'll get into it in spoilers, but they did some heavy emoting and communication with Kong that was completely nonverbal. Mm-hmm. And they did it really well. And the people thing was kind of down to a minimum. And the people in general were only there for narration and comic relief. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a problem with that. I actually really liked Dan Stevens in this movie. I thought, like, you know, he knew it's not like he was going to fucking win an Oscar for this. So he was like, well, I'm just going to go fucking batshit crazy.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Have fun.
And I liked
it.
Him and the other dude, I can't remember his name, but yeah, he's that.
Brian Tyree Henry.
Yeah. Tyree Henry.
Paperboy.
Paperboy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's from Atlanta. He was really funny. I like him in every scene. He chews up scenes.
See, you probably could have maybe minimalized his character.
Yeah, because but he's got so much presence, dude. It's kind of hard.
He really didn't need to be there.
Well, that was the whole when they started pulling a group together to go to Middle Earth. And I was like, this is the group of people that you have going to this super fucking dangerous place.
Philip, if they needed podcasters, they should have brought us, man.
Yeah, there you go. And but it was like every time one of those scenes happened where I was like, all right, this is the group of people they're taking. You know what? Fuck it. All right, let's go.
Why not?
And that's kind of the way the movie went. I thought I actually really liked Godzilla in this movie, even though it was kind of to a minimum, but this Kong was definitely the star. I liked the Scar aspect and the extra little Kong people, and I thought that they were really, really well done, even the little mini Kong, which seemed a little cheap, like a baby Yoda kind of a move.
Didn't look like he fit in, like he was a different...
Well, he was like an orangutan or something almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I actually had a really good time with it. If you just shut your brain off and watch it, I mean, stuff happens the whole time. They don't like get bogged down in the people stuff, you know? Like, there's not a whole lot of dead moments, especially
that's true.
Middle Earth and things start moving, it goes downhill from there.
Yep.
And if you ever get confused at any point in the movie, just look to Rebecca Hall.
There you go. They'll explain it for you. That was their purpose in the movie. Maybe they'll have one day with no people in it. We'll see.
Oh, that's the
next one.
Yeah. I think they could have got away with that with the Kong stuff.
Yeah, they're almost there, right? They're getting real close to that.
I mean, it would be a complete cartoon, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I really agree with what you're saying. Just the way they have Kong emote his emotions with his face and stuff. Like,
yeah,
I can watch a Kong movie with no people in it, definitely, and I think it would definitely work.
Yeah. All right. Scores. Lance, what do you think?
Well, this movie is a 2/10. And this one cemented itself in my bottom 10 for the year, no matter what comes out next. So
I do this every year.
Yeah.
This will not be in your bottom 10 by the end of the year.
Stop it, Brian. Stop it.
There's no fucking way.
There's no fucking way this won't be. This was trash.
Not unless you set it in stone in your heart of hearts. That this will be in there. I think this will be.
I mean,
if it makes your top 10, it will be number 10.
Okay. It's a long year, and there's a lot of shutter movies to come, Brian. Fair enough.
I'd rather watch this than a lot of fucking swimming pool movie.
There's a lot of screen box movies to come.
Well, you forget, Phil, that swimming pool movie's in his top.
At the moment, it actually is. So, moving on. All right, Brian, go ahead. Tell me why I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. I respect your answer, but I just came in having fun with it. I knew what it was going to be. I appreciate the minimal people story angles that they're, because that was like, I don't know, I forgot which one it was. I think it was Godzilla King of Monsters with Vera Farmiga and Millie Bobby Brown, and they had whole family angle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Not getting along. I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Yeah. We don't need big stars in these fucking movies. The big stars are Godzilla and Kong.
Right. No shit, dude. That was the one with Bryan Cranston, right, Brian?
No, he was in the original. The first Godzilla movie of this universe where they fooled us to think Bryan Cranston was the lead in the movie.
Yes.
It turned out to be
yes.
Kick-Ass was
the guy from
they did an LL Cool J on him or something, right?
Yeah.
All right.
But overall I had fun. Is it the best movie? No. Is it gonna make my top 10? No. But if you just go in, just get you a drink, get you some popcorn, just enjoy the fight scenes and Team Kong all the way.
And if the drink that you bring in happens to be purple, all the better.
Hey, do what you do.
I'm going to go. So what was your score, Brian?
7.
Seven. Okay.
Damn.
You know, I think I'm going to give it an 8, man. I had a really good time with this movie. Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. It was stupid action summer blockbuster popcorn movie.
I get it, dude. I respect it, man. I respect it. I wish I'd gotten the same joy.
We'll get into some of the stupid plot devices, but
yeah, we don't need to like put this one under a microscope, though, do we?
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, you know what?
Right. Go with it. Go with it.
Versus a giant lizard, I'm not too worried about where they got the fucking stupid flying things from.
No shit. Where did that technology come from?
They always have it.
Talk about the about the multiverse.
All right, spoilers.
This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned.
The human element was horrible. Like those natives, that was fucking atrocious, guys.
Yeah, like the Middle Earth people.
Oh, yo. Come on, give me a fucking break, man.
How was it atrocious?
You got to explain yourself.
It was a joke, dude. So why are they like, number one, why are they mute?
They're number two.
Because they can speak telepathically. They're higher advanced civilization.
So why is English their first language? Why do they understand everything people are saying in English?
Well, I don't know. Why does Pong understand American Sign Language?
Yeah, Lance.
You got me on that one. Okay, moving on. Jesus Christ, guys. Fuck. Okay. Y'all took the air out of my balloon.
I had to think that a couple of times. I was like, this random girl from Skull Island who is part of Kong's thing can only communicate him through sign language.
Well, it kind of, I think it makes sense now that maybe she was never really communicating with him by sign language, that she was communicating telepathically and she just didn't know it.
You just added a whole new angle to it, Brian.
Hey, it's like an onion. It's got layers. Yep.
like an ogre.
Mothra. I swear they introduced Mothra in Godzilla King of Monsters, and Mothra died.
I don't remember that, but I wouldn't be surprised. But Mothra looked amazing in this one.
Yeah, Mothra looked great. It's just... Mothra. So who was the other ones? Did we get fake Mothra?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it...
Good question.
Goes back and lays eggs in the cocoon or whatever. That
makes sense. Yeah.
Damn it, Rebecca Hall, you didn't explain this.
I know.
Yes, Rebecca Hall should have come out and explained it all to us.
That's a good point.
What else do I want to talk about? Scar. Little disappointed. Okay. I expected the way the trailers made it seem like he was bigger than Kong.
That's what I was thinking when they first showed him. I thought he was going to come out, and it looked like he was bigger than Kong. And I was like, holy shit, this thing is huge, because Kong's bigger than all the other apes by a lot.
Sure.
And then they showed him fighting each other, and I'm like, they're the same fucking size.
Yeah.
kind of an anticlimax, huh?
Yeah, and he's this little lanky thing.
Yeah, and I didn't like the...
You got baby Kong.
I like the... What was the kaiju controlled? Shima. Uh-huh. I like that.
Sashima?
I didn't
say
that.
Like sushi? Okay.
No. But I like the look of it. I liked his powers, but you just knew off the bat that once you found out he was controlling him with that crystal.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you could see the way the rest of the movie was going for
sure.
it was about to go full Frozen Empire, right?
Well, and okay, so all right, Godzilla's gonna fight this guy, and Kong's gonna fight this guy, and
and then Scar is gonna lose the crystal, and then it's gonna be 3-on-1, and and for a family movie, well, this is not a family movie. This is not take the little kids. They
right.
Without showing it, they murder so many people.
There's destruction. They destroy the Great Pyramids, like falling through cities, crushing buildings. Like there's a lot of, like even Godzilla just moving along. to go do the good guy thing is just blowing shit up along the way.
Yeah, because you get a scene where it's Godzilla. He's sleeping in the Colosseum.
Yeah,
he has to go do his good guy thing. And instead of just stepping over the Colosseum, he just walks through it.
Yeah. Walks through it. I thought Superman and Zod were about to show up, you know?
Blowing everything up. I watched that one not too long ago, too. That wasn't a bad movie, but yeah, they destroyed the fucking city. So maybe that'll be addressed in the next one.
Probably.
Although I also kind of don't care. Just, you know, give me some more Godzilla and Kong.
In the next one, the baby Kong is going to be an insurance agent for State Farm. Instead of Jake, it's going to be Baby Kong.
I'm going to go out on a limb and saying that the next MonsterVerse movie is going to be Kong-centric, no Godzilla, and it's going to be in Middle Earth.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so, man. Godzilla got top billing on this one. It was Godzilla X-Kong, Brian.
Yeah, and he was barely in the movie.
True. Yeah. So that means he's overdue to take a whole movie over next.
But he's got two movies in this universe.
Oh, okay.
Kong's got one, which that was a pretty good one.
All right. So how about this, guys? Let's bring back this Kong, but let's also bring back the Kong from the 1962 movie with that fucking mask on that doesn't look anything like Kong at all.
Oh,
and go,
the one with the peanut-sized brain?
Yes. His brain is this big. The other brain is this big.
And that's what I always liked about
Kong. I like him.
That's what I always liked about the newer version of Kong. They just didn't make him stupid.
Yeah. Like, because obviously Godzilla can defeat Kong, right? Like, if they were in a real fair fight.
Sure. Like, because he's got fire breath.
Nuclear explosions and shit. Sure. He's a fucking monster. And Kong is just smarter.
Like an oversized human, basically, right?
Yeah.
I can't wait for the new Planet of the Apes movie, by the way. Saw a new trailer for that today, too.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
I like what they've been doing with it, so.
Supposed to be like 100 years after the last one or something like that.
Well, it looks like the original Planet of the Apes movie to me. Like, with the way the humans are and everything, kind of feral. So, anyway. Not to get off topic. Sorry, guys.
What'd you guys think about Kong's mechanical hand?
That's stupid. Fucking ridiculous, dude. Just like you said, that helicopter or whatever. Where did they get this technology? And how did they just throw the hand down and it goes boom,
that they
boom,
were working
boom,
on
boom,
a
boom.
Product. They explained it.
Oh, okay.
But instead of Rebecca Hall, it was Dan Stevens that had the answer.
Okay. I do kind of like that they explained it really fast, and then he just went, got it, and it was right there.
I know. Yeah. Like, it took him like three seconds to bring it all the way back from up top.
They knew Kong needed an advantage. He was going to need an advantage at a certain point, and they happened to be working on a prototype, and it happened to be in the middle or hollow Earth.
Absolutely.
I just have to take my plane and go get it.
Yep.
And
I'll be back in 5 minutes.
I was a little worried that they were going to go off on a tangent on that, and then they didn't.
Yeah.
And he was right back, and I was like,
he was right back.
All right. I guess that's the way we're playing.
No side quest, Philip.
No.
All
right. I mean,
it was right back to it. Kong needs a mechanical hand. How do we do it? I don't know.
It's goofy, but I mean, it could have went way overboard, Lance. He could have had a whole fucking mech suit.
Oh, no, that's the next movie. That's the next movie, Brian.
Godzilla in a mech.
y'all know it's the next movie. Brian's already written it.
Next God King Kong movie is God King Kong in a mech suit. Next Godzilla movie, Godzilla's going to space.
Okay. All right, are you guys ready to check out or any more last minute?
One real quick. I really liked the exploration of the Middle Earth thing.
Yes.
It was
like a new world, and they were just finding random things in it, which was...
Yeah, I agree.
The exploration aspect I thought was kind of cool.
Because even though I've highly spoken about, I'm not big on the people aspect of these movies, but I like that there also was a human civilization living there.
Yeah.
And all these
Yeah.
forgotten species of animals, some they never heard of, some they thought was just fiction and stuff like that. And
yeah, they got like full blown fantasy on this thing.
Lots of world building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like when they enter Hollow Earth, how you're upside down and then everything kind of just switches and then you're right side up again.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, that was pretty interesting, man. That was well done, I have to admit. I mean, it wasn't a horrible movie, but 2 on 10. And like Brian said, probably not going to be in my bottom 10 here.
But at the moment, it's solid there.
Although I have not yet seen, what was it called, Brian? Death Rider and the Vampire House or whatever the hell it's called?
Oh, Death I'm Rider and the House Zim. Of Vampires?
I'm talking to you, Zimbeda. That's not an Australian accent. Zimbeda!
I don't know what that is.
Was that the Danzig one?
Yeah, he needs to stop making movies.
Oh, you hear that, Zim? Do you hear that, Zim? You
respectfully,
hear that?
Zim.
In a Jaja! In a Jaja!
Respectfully, Zim. Your guy needs to stop making movies.
All right, we'll get an earful next week. So, as always, we want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of The Horror Returns. You can reach us at thehorrorreturns@gmail.com or just go to our website, thehorrorreturns.com, and follow our social media from there. Next week, I think Pedro's going to swing by if it's Tuesday. Are we doing Tuesday, guys?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Is Pedro invited?
Yeah, I think he's been invited.
Always.
So we're going to talk about The Omen as well as The First Omen. So, Philip, until The Horror Returns again.
Good night.